You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor.
Hey, y'all. Just going to take a quick break from this conversation to let you know about the sponsor of today's episode. That sponsor is, well, frankly, it's me. It's Lee Brown University. Look, it's no secret that real estate is crazy competitive, getting more so every day. And when the pie doesn't get any bigger, but the people wanting a piece of it do, you've got to figure out a competitive advantage. And that's why I created Lee Brown University. It's everything you need from soup to nuts, cradle to grave, point A to point B, whatever point B is. Each of you has different goals. So maybe you're a new to the career realtor, or you're a super experienced pro who can't figure out that next level. There's something in my course that's going to help you break through. It's designed for you before I even met you. So enroll in Lee Brown University today. You go to www.leebrownu.com and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content. Hello, friends. Lee Brown here, and it's time for Crazy Shit in Real Estate. Today's crazy is a little less in the vein of the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and more in the veins of, holy smokes, she did what with real estate? Rachel Richards is with us today to talk a little bit about investing, including syndication and financial management, and frankly, you're going to learn a lot today that's going to make you stronger. So buckle up and I'll see you on the other side. Tell me about you. So where are you located? Give me a little bit of background on how you landed on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast.
Yeah, that's right. We're traveling right now, my husband and I. So we moved to Colorado last year from Kentucky, lived there for a year, absolutely fell in love with it. But then before settling down, we just wanted to explore a little more. So since May, we've been traveling all over the West and we're about to go back to Colorado, which I'm excited about.
Okay, so you like in an RV traveling, like live in the open road?
No, we decided against the RV thing because my husband is 6'6" and we have our dog and we just thought it was not going to be comfortable. Yeah. So we are just doing like Airbnbs.
Okay, that's the most fun thing ever. So how did you decide to do this besides, hey, we're young, we don't have a bunch of kids in school yet, we may as well?
What's that? I mean, that was kind of the thought process. It was like, what better time to do this than right now? And I didn't want to settle down just yet. I just wanted to make sure Colorado was the best place. And so there were still some places we want to explore. And now I know for sure Colorado is the one.
Oh, so where did you go that made Colorado stand out as your place to be? Was there somewhere that created the...
We lived in Colorado Springs for the year, but just the weather and the community and the mountains. We love hiking and how great the winter is. I mean, we love it there.
So you said community. What about the community was the attractive part to you? Do people say, hey, or is it the small businesses or the feel? What is the ish that
there was two part like aspects to that? One is just that everyone is so into the outdoors scene, and so are we. So we loved that. And then in Denver, particularly, it's known for having this big financial independence community. So a lot of people that are doing the same things I am live there. And so I finally felt for the first time like I found my people, and there are people that get me and that I'm really close with.
Okay. That's like such a huge thing to talk about. In real estate, we don't talk about that very often because we talk about people finding the house instead of finding their people. And when we say their people, would y'all please know we're not talking about violating fair housing or any of that. I'm talking about that feeling that you can be understood and that there's people that you want to go deeper in relationship with and grow together and do things together. And I think about it like my parents used to play cards with people from church. Like they had their Friday night people they played cards with, and they talked about life and parenting and kids and work and stuff. And that's what happens when you have something in common. So let go of all of your aggravated notions that we're talking about putting people in boxes. We're not talking about that. It drives me crazy because I do think the conversation gets convoluted right in today's very wild societal conversations, but there's a feeling and you can't even put your hand around it. It just, it is or it isn't.
Yeah.
So talk to me a little bit about the financial independence piece.
Oh, yeah. That is my jam. That is what I love to do. So I was actually able to quit my job when I was 27 a couple years ago and retire. And I'm now living off over $15,000 per month in passive income. It used to be mainly from real estate. My husband and I built a rental portfolio of almost 40 doors by the time I was 26. We have sold some of that. And now most of our passive income is from my books and my courses. So it's just a lot of fun.
Okay. So you're going to have to tell us how in the world did y'all get that many doors at that age? Because Rachel, we know that most people aren't even buying their first property until they're approaching 30 years old now, because there's this delay, and we can blame it on whatever we want, whether it's blame it on student debt, blame it on affordability, blame it on whatever, but people are delaying. You didn't delay. So give us a little bit of that first property. How did y'all land on the first property? Was that you plus your husband, or was that you and then he jumped into the empire? How'd that all work out?
Yeah, it was me and my husband, and it was in 2017. 2017 is the year that everything started. And that year, and even in the couple years after, we were both still working full time. We didn't really have any other side hustle income. So in 2017, we bought our first investment property. It was a duplex in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where we were living at the time. And it was $100,000. So definitely very cheap. I love investing in the Midwest for that reason. And the way that we were able to purchase that, because I was 24 at the time, we had a few things going for us. First of all, we both graduated without debt, not because our parents paid for it, although there's nothing wrong with that, but I paid my way through school selling Cutco knives. And yeah, have you heard of Cutco cutlery?
I should get up and go to the kitchen and get my Cutco sent me, because that's probably the number one closing gift for realtors. They love Cutco, and I love Cutco because in addition to all the great product, they hire a lot of young people and give them the ability to go learn how to sell, and they build up young people. And I think that's an underappreciated gift that an employer can give you to say, I know you're young and don't know anything. Come on, you can do this, girl. We're going to teach you how. And I love Cutco for that. So
exactly.
If you want to know Kristen's information, I'll put it in the show notes because she's my favorite Cutco girl. And
yes,
we got to get connected. But I love that you were selling Cutco.
Oh my gosh.
I bartended to pay for college. And so I'm all about those of us that find a way to pay for those course hours, because that's why I finished in 3 years, because I was paying for it.
Me too. I did the same thing. So funny. So yeah, that's what I did. I sold knives, paid my way through school. My husband is a veteran, so he used his military benefits to pay for his school. So that's how we graduated. And are you too? Veteran in your family?
I love veterans, because North Carolina is like a super military friendly state. Mm-hmm. My dad went to Vietnam because the government gave him that opportunity without an opportunity to opt out. You know, he was dead. We love the military. And especially this past week, I'm sure that y'all have gone through the same range of emotions that we all have over the loss of our 13 service members in Afghanistan for no reason. But
yes,
I'm grateful to anybody that makes the decision to put themselves in harm's way, because we have to remember it was a decision that they made to
agree. Yeah, exactly.
Honor that. So,
well, thank you for saying that. Yeah. So that was a big advantage for him. And then the other part of it that helped us start at such a young age. So I always clarify, I'm not a trust fund baby. Okay. I never even made six figures from a job or a career.
Are you a regular person, Rachel?
I'm just a normal average person. And really, I mean, I was only making $36,000 after I graduated from college. But the thing is, I was so frugal back then. So I was committed to saving half of my income. I was living off something like $1,500 a month. I mean, it was just crazy cheap. And my husband had the same frugal mindset. So it only took us a couple years to save up some money. So by 2017, I had $10,000 in savings. So did he. We pooled our money together to get to the $20,000 down payment. And that's how we were able to buy the first rental property.
I love, by the way, that y'all went after a duplex. And I think we should land on that for just a second, because too many buyers are overlooking how you can really give yourself a massive head start. And I think it's because our society right now says you have to have everything perfect from day one. And your first house might not be that perfect single family house with the white picket fence yard. A duplex, if you're frugally living in one side and the other side generates rental income, You talk about getting ahead. So who gave you the advice to do that? Was this through some reading that you did? Did you have some counsel from a parent or a realtor? How did y'all get to that space?
So we actually didn't live in the duplex. We already had a primary residence that my husband had bought with his VA loan, where he didn't have to put any money down, which also that was a huge advantage for us. But the method you're talking about, house hacking, is super, super smart. Normally, if you're buying an investment property, you have to put 20 to 25% down. And that can be a big obstacle for new investors. So house hacking is where you buy a property and live in it as your primary residence. And that way you can put 0% down with a VA loan or 3.5% down with an FHA loan. You don't need nearly as much money. You live in one unit and rent out the other units. And that after a year, you can move out and repeat the process. And the thing is, Lee, if I had known about that before the age of 24, I would have done that. I even held myself back. 24 is not late by any means, but I could have started even sooner if I knew some of the things then that I know now. And house hacking is one of them. But you know, by the time I was 24, we were able to get that 20% down payment, and that's how we got started.
All right. So what happens next? And I find that with a lot of people, the first investment property, after you mentally get yourself around the idea that somebody else is going to live there, because that's a negative perception that's driven by the Hollywood crowd and the mainstream media of tenants are terrible. I think tenants are great. There's the occasional bad one, but that's just life.
Yeah.
Once you get the first property, a lot of people get hamstrung. They're like, I mean, I can't afford another one. I don't know where to get the down payment. I don't know where to buy it. What did y'all do to create a system and some steps that would allow you to build your little empire? Because that's what it is, your little property empire.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, we were able to scale very quickly from zero to almost 40 doors in 2 or 3 years, essentially. So the reason we were able to do that is, number one, I had my real estate license. So I'm a realtor. It's inactive right now, but I'm a realtor. And that was a huge benefit. I never had it for the purpose of having clients. It was just for my own purposes as an investor. But it was such a huge advantage because we would deplete our savings for every purchase. But then I would represent us and I would be the buyer's agent on the deal. And so when we closed, I would get a commission check back for thousands of dollars. On the first one, I think I made $2,000, but then on later properties, I would make $10,000 or $11,000. And we would put that money towards the next down payment. So that's the biggest key for how we were able to continue to come up with down payments and scale quickly. And the other thing is that we just didn't give into lifestyle creep. So that first duplex, we were already making $500 a month in profit. And instead of saying, oh, let's live it up, we worked hard for this, let's spend a little bit more money, we said, no, let's still be disciplined for as long as we can. And we saved 100% of that $500 per month. And that helped us save even faster. And the more doors you get and the more rental income you're making, it's like a snowball effect. You can save money faster and faster. And that's essentially how we were able to keep coming up with money to buy more properties.
Oh my gosh, girl, I could unpack like all the things you said. Are you people listening to Rachel? Are you listening? Oh my gosh, it drives me crazy how many realtors don't buy rental properties for themselves because they forget about that piece. You just dropped in there like it's just as natural as it can be. When you're a realtor and you're representing yourself, you have those commission dollars that you could then designate. Do you want to take it off the price of the house? You could. You could use it for the next property. You could use it to build your business, but those dollars are available to you to scale. And the fact that people in real estate don't buy the product they're selling blows my mind. And don't tell me it's because you can't afford it. That pretty much only applies to the super expensive markets. There are so many markets in the country, even right now. I mean, we're recording this in September of 2021, and the markets have been a little frothy. There are still value pockets. So I freaking love that you said that, but I need you to talk about lifestyle creep a little bit. And here's why. I think there's a new iPhone coming out this month. I think it's the iPhone, the 13 or 14 or whatever number they're on now. I'm never going to be there because I don't upgrade my phone all the time. Hey, Rachel, do you think a new iPhone is lifestyle creep?
I would say, I mean, it depends because if there's nothing wrong with your current phone, then yes. If your current phone dies, then you can get a new iPhone. I mean, that's the way I approach it.
You know what we're talking about. We're talking about that line that's going to be outside the iPhone store.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everybody just wants the new. That's lifestyle creep, y'all. Mm-hmm. If your phone works, slow your roll. Why don't I have the third camera? Because I wasn't going to pay that extra money for it, because that can go into my rental property portfolio plan, because I'm adding doors myself. If that keeps me from buying a door, I don't need it. Think about it, y'all. It all adds up. And I love that term, lifestyle creep. It's so smart. Okay, so back to your story. I want to know, you're going to have to tell a crazy story here in a minute, but I'm freaking loving the gems that you're dropping right now for all of my realtors and my consumer followers who are all of them sitting there thinking, daggone, she's done all that by this age. How am I going to catch up? So when you decided to let go of a few doors, talk to us about that process, because I find that's a challenging moment. You don't always sell because you have to. Sometimes you sell because it's a wise decision for the next steps in your life. So why have y'all cut out a couple of the doors in your portfolio?
Yeah, thank you for asking. One of the things with real estate for us is that it was never something we were so passionate about that we wanted to build this huge empire. It was only a means to an end. And once we got to $10,000 a month in passive profit from our rentals, that's all we wanted to do, because that would free us up to quit our jobs and to pursue what we want and to be making all this passive income on the side. So that was the goal. We hit that goal within 2 or 3 years and we stopped acquiring real estate in 2018. Fast forward to today, we've realized that we can sell some of our rentals and be in even more alignment with our goals, because what we want to get to is just as passive income as possible. And as everyone knows who's a real estate investor, owning rental properties is not passive unless you have a property manager. And even if you do, there's always an aspect of manage the manager. So it's not 100% passive. And I've never sold it that way. I mean, it's a lot more passive compared to a 9-to-5 job though. So once we got to, it was the beginning of this year, we started thinking about selling our rentals. And there was a few things going on. First of all, it was just a lot of tenants to manage. We were self-managing at this time. We've gone back and forth with that. And we were ready to kind of be done with the direct rental property ownership, at least to the extent that we had a lot of tenants. And then the other thing is, once I started learning more about real estate syndications, I realized, okay, this is a much more passive way to invest in real estate and still have all of the benefits. So we're taking all the money that we have gained from the sale of our rentals. We've sold, let's see, 36 doors. So we have 4 doors left. And we are going to transition all that money into syndications, just because at this point, we value time more than money. And even if I make a little bit less by investing in syndications, it's 100% passive. And that's what's in alignment with our goals.
Well, you gave yourself ability to make that choice. So all of the things you've done up until now allowed you to say, yeah, I can take a little less money in order to have more time. And friends, if you're not building up some kind of a passive stream, you don't get that choice. And you have to think about this. Rachel and her husband didn't get it overnight. How many times did you say the word goals in the last couple of minutes? It was goals, 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 goals. You guys knew where you were going. And this is what happens to a lot of us, y'all. I love you. You get so distracted. You have ADD. You're just hustling every single day. You don't know where you're going. Look, the reason they were able to get this done is deciding what they wanted in the way of cash flow, what they wanted in the way of income, deciding what steps it would take to get there, because that's a hard choice to make when everybody around you on Instagram is spend, spend, spend. You chose to achieve the goal first so that then you could go to the next goal. Guys, you have to. I'm just going to show you my favorite book I'm reading again, Dream Big by Bob Goff. You ever read Bob's book, Dream Big?
No, but I'll have to write that down. I love books. I love reading.
This is right up your alley. Like, this, how you're living your life, but Bob's amazing. So you have to read it. It's also cool. It builds your heart as much as your bank account. All right. So out of the goals and that piece, I also have to mention, if you don't have a professional property manager on your team, even if you're a self-manager, get one, because at some point you've got to make sure you've got the ability to make that choice. I have an amazing professional property manager because my patience is too thin to deal with tenants. So I want you to talk about syndication though, because many of the people who are going to watch this or listen to this, they're in real estate and don't know what it is, or they're not in real estate and they're thinking, what? I get time back and money. So give us a definition of what you see syndication as, and how do people get started? How much does it take? Give them some of the backdrop.
Yeah, for sure. So I'll explain this the best I can. But a syndication is, for example, some investor goes and they want to buy a $10 million apartment complex. They don't have the money themselves. they can form a syndication and raise money from private investors who become equity owners in that property. So people like you and me can invest as limited partners, and we're not just lending our money to get interest. We're actually equity owners in this property, and we're going to receive a share of the profits, normally as a monthly or quarterly distribution. So it's great because you're not involved in the management of the property. You're not involved in the decision-making, the renovating, anything. You send in your funds, your wire, and then you get this quarterly distribution. So it's the closest thing to mailbox money that I've seen in the real estate world. Now, the reason we didn't do this starting out is, number one, I didn't know they existed. And they've become a lot more popular just in the last couple of years. So they weren't as popular in 2017. And number two, it was a capital barrier for us. So it took everything for us to just scrape together 20 grand for that first down payment. Most syndications have minimum investments of 25, 50, 75 grand, typical. So we started out in a place where we were willing to hustle and spend a lot more time to make more money. And now we're in a place where we don't want to work as hard and we're willing to make less money, which is why syndications make a lot more sense for us now.
You know, I like to describe a syndication as that old Christmas club that the grandmas used to put together down at the bank, and you put in your little bit of kitty and then you go buy some stock together and everybody owns the stock together and everybody wins or loses together, because you can lose in a syndication, friends.
Yes, yes.
A property can go down. There's always risk involved. Rachel and I are not giving y'all specific advice on any specific property. We both say to you, do your research, talk to your tax accountants and attorneys and all of that. But it is a way to participate in bigger things that than you can do yourself right now. So would you say that this is the space you'll continue in for some time? Is this the next thing on the goal sheet, is doing a bigger syndication, or what's the next step for you?
Yeah, I think so. My goal is to invest in at least 5 to 10 more syndications within the next year. So it's just about having enough time to kind of do the due diligence on the syndicator and the property itself. But that's the direction we're heading. And then also just focusing on my business, my money honey stuff, my books and my courses. That's what really fulfills me. I sometimes say I'm retired, but I use the words retired and financially independent interchangeably. So I still work, and I do it because that's what I love. It's just that I now work when, where, and if I want.
All right. So go ahead and tell my viewers and listeners. I know they're like, okay, so what's money, honey? Give them a little bit of a snapshot of what you're doing and how they can participate in it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. So Money Honey is my first best-selling book that I self-published in 2017. And at the time, so I used to be a financial advisor. At the time, all my family and friends were coming to me for financial advice, which I loved. And at the same time, I thought to myself, well, why aren't they learning or reading books on their own? And then I realized, oh yeah, personal finance is boring, right? It's intimidating, it's overwhelming, it's complex. No wonder people don't like to learn about this. So I thought to myself, how can I make this topic sassy and fun and simple and easy to understand? And that's where the idea for Money Honey came from. I really wrote it as like, here's how to manage your money. And it was almost like I was writing it for my best friend. And to my shock, back in 2017, it took off. It now has over 1,100 Amazon reviews. It's been a bestseller on Amazon for a long time. So that's kind of where the business began. And now I have a bunch of other books and programs for mainly for female millennials, but I work with all types of people now.
So don't worry, friends. I know you're anxiously trying to go buy it on Amazon. We have all of the links to all of Rachel's products in the show notes for this episode. So all you've got to do is go to the show notes and click, click, order, order, sign up, and learn some things so that even if you are or something in age, go ahead and learn the secrets of a young millennial investor couple, because it's never too late. The only time it's too late is frankly when you're dead, and we can't help you at that point, but you can plan for a future that allows you to have some freedoms and choice too. Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us, frankly, a lot of life lessons and a lot of your story along the way. I feel that we're going to get some response from this episode, that some people are going to finally take some steps themselves, because friends, quit letting the moss grow under you. Rachel, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Lee. You're so fun. I appreciate it.
All right, guys, make sure you subscribe, because you don't want to miss any more great episodes that could change your financial future. I'm just saying, give me 5 stars, because that's the nice thing to do. And share with a friend, because I bet you have a friend who needs to get their financial life in order and needs to meet Rachel. I'll see you next time.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally won't just subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.